Well, thanks for having me here today. It's lovely to be here. And you might have seen from the old leaflet, I think that's supposed to be me. And if you read the back, you'll see that today I really want to speak about how 9 years ago my life was quite dramatically changed. It was actually 9 years ago today. It's the 11th of February 2012. And on the 11th of February 2003, I had a very serious accident. I was working in a place called Bermondsey in southeast London, and it's a long and drawn out story how this happened, but I found myself 25 feet up a forklift truck, and someone was playing a joke on me, trying to scare me, which they did. And someone else thought that it would be really funny, not just to lift me into the air, but also to drive the forklift truck around to try and scare me even more. And they did. But as anyone who knows anything about forklift trucks or physics will know, it was too top heavy. And so the whole forklift truck fell over. And I fell 25 feet, and I landed on the concrete floor of the warehouse yard. I was pretty badly injured. I had smashed my head open quite badly. My back was broken. My leg had broken in half, and my foot was crushed. So I was in a real bad way. I was in a real bad situation. And that accident had quite a dramatic effect on me. And maybe I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But for the moment, I just want to say this, that I had a big fall. And I kind of want to use that as a basis of talking about something else this morning, something else that we find in the Bible. Because a fall doesn't necessarily have to be a physical fall, does it? I fell from a great height, and I fell to the ground. But people can fall in all kinds of ways, can't they? You think of Colonel Gaddafi. There he was. He had power beyond power, didn't he? He was the dictator of Libya. No one could touch him. No one could say a thing to him. He held people's lives in his hands. But then he fell. He fell from power. Until eventually he was murdered by a mob, or killed by a mob. We use the phrase, don't we, how the mighty have fallen. And you think also, I don't know whether you know the name Elliot Morley. He was an MP, the MP for Scunthorpe. But then the expenses scandal broke, and 16 months ago, he got found out that he was claiming £30,000 for a mortgage that had already been paid. And so there he was. He was in a position of great power and great social standing. You know, and a member of parliament. That's got to look good on your CV, hasn't it? But there he was. Then he got found out, and eventually he was put in jail for fiddling his expenses. So a fall doesn't necessarily have to be a physical fall. Of course you can fall over, but a fall can be a social, it can be a fall from a great position of power to being killed by a mob, it can be being an MP and being brought down and put in prison for fiddling expenses. I suppose if you wanted to kind of say what a fall is, you could say this: it's a rapid descent from a high point to a low point. That's what happened to me, wasn't it? I had a rapid descent from a very high point to a low point. But what you may be interested to know is this, that Christians, when we describe this world in which we live, we describe it as a fallen world. And as we look at this world, we see that something has gone seriously wrong with the world that we live in. Many people, they say to me, look, if there's a God, why is there so much suffering in the world? Why do bad things happen? Why do good people suffer? And maybe you've asked that question yourself. Well, the answer is actually found in the Bible. And the Bible says that this world that God has made, and the whole of the human race, has actually gone from a high point, the highest point of all, to a low point. And it happened during what we call the fall. Okay? I just want to explain what the fall is. The opening chapters of the Bible say that when God made this world, he made it truly good. It was a perfect place. And he made two people, Adam and Eve. And they knew him, and they loved him, and they lived in God's presence. And so there was a relationship between God and human beings, so much so that it seems to suggest that they used to actually walk with God in the cool of the day, in the evening time when the sun was going down. Adam and Eve lived in a place, the only place really, that could ever be described as heaven on earth. Because they truly knew God. They had a relationship with him. And they loved him and he loved them. But then something went badly wrong. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They disobeyed one simple command that he had given them. And when they disobeyed that simple command, actually, the relationship they had with God was ruined. It's like when a man and a woman get married, they make promises to each other, don't they? They promise, I'm going to love you for the rest of my life. And I'm going to save myself only for you. But as we know from soap operas and from real life, it doesn't always work like that. Either the husband cheats on the wife or the wife cheats on the husband sometimes. And what happens then? Well, often there's a divorce, isn't there? Because one member of that marriage has been unfaithful, there's a divorce, there's a separation. Well, the same is true with the relationship that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God. They were unfaithful to him. They broke his commandment. And therefore there was a separation. And that wonderful relationship that they enjoyed with God was ruined. And they were thrown out of his presence. And therefore, the world that we live in, and we ourselves as human beings, we have been ruined by that disobedience, by that fall. Okay? The world around us has been ruined. We ourselves have been ruined. And it's all because of that fall, that sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. And as we look around the world, we actually see the consequences of that fall, that rapid descent from being in God's presence and having a relationship with God to being thrown out of his presence and separated from him. So look at the world around us. We see disease, we see tsunamis, we see famine, we see death. Why is it? It's not that the world that God created just wasn't that good. It's that this whole world has been ruined. What God made, which was so good, has just been completely trashed and ruined by man's disobedience. In fact, the Bible says that the whole of God's creation groans because of sin. And we don't just see it in the world around us, we see it in ourselves, don't we? As a human race, we're responsible for some of the worst crimes imaginable. You think of the Holocaust. You think of the killing fields of Cambodia. Or you just think of the horrendously wicked things that people commit, people do. As a human race, We've been ruined. Ruined by sin. And we don't just have to look at people like Colonel Gaddafi and the Nazis to see this ruin. We actually look at ourselves. And we see that in our own hearts we do wrong things. In our own hearts we feel guilt. And we feel shame. And we feel regret. And we know when we look at deep inside ourselves that we're not the people we should be. We don't live up to our own standards, let alone the standards that God sets in the Bible. That's why the Bible calls us sinners. We have broken God's law because at our very core, at the very core of our being, there is a problem. We've been ruined by sin. I see that in myself. I see that in my kids. I've got two boys called Ollie and Theo. Ollie has just turned 3. And the age of 2 was a nightmare. I mean, tantrums and all sorts. And you know, we do our best to try and control him. But boy, oh boy. I've got a 3-year-old boy, and I can just see in his disobedience at times, in the way that he treats me and his mum, in the way that he screams and shouts, I can just see, just like his dad, he's got a problem with sin. It's not just human nature, it's sinful nature. We've been ruined. And as I say, that's why we feel guilt and shame and regret. And, you know, I don't want to put you on a guilt trip this morning, in a sense, but I think each and every one of us would have to admit that as we look over our lives, there's so many things we regret. So many things that we said and we think, I wish I'd never said that. So many things that we know we should have said or should have done, but we didn't. And now it's too late. And every one of us, as we look at our lives, we see guilt and shame. And it's because we as people live in a world that has been ruined by sin. And we have been ruined by sin ourselves. I suppose if you look at this world and you ask that question, you know, where is God in it all? Where is God with all this suffering and with all this pain? I suppose the best example I could give of this world is this. I don't know whether you've ever seen a Ferrari. They're few and far between, aren't they? But I wonder whether you've ever seen a dented Ferrari. I had to look one up on the internet. I'd never actually seen one in real life. But I looked up on Google for a dented Ferrari, and I saw this beautiful, plush, lush red Ferrari, and the whole of the front end was just completely smashed in. And I thought, you know, you couldn't really get a better picture of what this world is like. We can see this world should be better, and as we look at this world, we can see something's gone wrong. We might not really know what it is. The Bible gives us the answer to what it is. But we can just see that it shouldn't be like this. You know, you look at a Ferrari with a massive dent in the front, you say, well, it shouldn't look like that. But you look at this world, we say, it shouldn't look like this. And we shouldn't be the way we are, should we? You know, why do we hurt the ones we love? Why do we lie to people? Why do we wake up in the morning sometimes and we just walk around the house like a bear with a sore head and, you know, snap at our wives or bark at the kids? You know, why do we do that? We shouldn't be like this. Something has gone wrong. And the Bible says that it all went wrong back in the beginning when that first man rebelled against God. And he threw the whole of the human race into this state of ruin. And worse than that, and in some ways you might wonder, how can it get worse? Well, it does, if I'm honest. Because worse than that, the Bible says this, that because of our ruined relationship with God, and because of the way that we constantly offend him with the lives we live, the Bible says that there'll come a day when if we have to stand before this good and this loving and this completely pure God, if we come before him with all of the shame and with all the guilt and all of the wrong things in our life, the Bible says that he, in his justice and his goodness, will have to punish us for the wrong that we've done. So I can say today that if God were to give me what I deserve, I'd be in hell. That's what I deserve. I said that a few weeks ago to a man, a Muslim man, and he said, no, you don't deserve to go to hell. He said, you're a good man. And I said to him, if you knew what I was really like, if you knew some of the thoughts that had run through my mind, if you knew the things I had said and done, you'd never call me a good man. And not only that, but when I measure myself up against the standard that God has set, against the goodness of God, I see, boy, I've failed miserably. So if God gave me what I deserve, I'd be in hell. And that's what the Bible says each and every one of us deserves. And that's not nice to hear. It's not nice to say, if I'm honest. But it's what the Bible tells me. But there is good news. And the good news is this, that this broken relationship with God can be repaired, in a sense, as the title of this of this talk says, Humpty Dumpty can be put together again. this ruined situation that we find ourselves in, it can be fixed. And actually, it's not through religion, and it's not through simply trying to be a better person. What we need is God's intervention in our lives. And God intervened, not only in our lives, but God intervened in the history of this world 2,000 years ago when he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a baby in a manger in Bethlehem and to grow up to be a man. When Jesus Christ came into this world, it was the most significant moment in all of human history, because God was intervening in a tremendous way to fix the problem that we see all around us, the problem of sin. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He lived the life that you and I have failed to live. He was the most loving man who ever lived. He was the kindest man who ever lived. He didn't have wicked thoughts. He didn't say wicked things. He loved others as much as he loved himself, and he constantly put people before himself. But most of all, he loved God as he should. Jesus Christ lived the life that we failed to live. But then, at about the age of 33 or so, he was taken and he was nailed to a cross. And when Jesus died on that cross, he wasn't simply dying at the hands of men. When Jesus died on that cross, he was actually being punished at the hands of his Father in heaven. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. So Jesus, as he hung on that cross, he took on himself the punishment that a sinner like me deserves. So I deserve to go to hell for eternity. But when Jesus died on that cross, he took the hell that I deserve and he took it on himself. And he experienced the shame and the ruin and the pain and the punishment that I deserve. In fact, so much so that he cried out at one point, he cried, my God, "Why have you abandoned me?" And Jesus died on that cross. There was a sense that he was completely abandoned. He was thrown into the deepest part of hell. He was punished in the place of people like you and me. Now, why would he do that? Why on earth would the Son of God become a man, live a life in this world ruined by sin, and then be willing to die on a cross to pay the price of sin? Why would God do that? And the answer is simply this. He did it out of love. He did it because he loves people like you and me. There's not much that's lovely about me, really, if I'm brutally honest. But God loves me. And he loves me so much that his Son, the Lord Jesus, was willing to take the punishment I deserve on the cross. And not only that, but through Jesus' death on the cross, when I put my trust in Jesus when I was around about the age of 12, not only did I know that my sins had been forgiven because Jesus had dealt with them at the cross, but actually, I entered into that relationship with God that Adam and Eve had lost all those years ago. I can now say God is my Father. I can say I've got a relationship with him that will never end. I let God down every day. I'm far from perfect. But actually, I've got a relationship with the God who has made me. And it's not a relationship based on anything that I have done. It's a relationship based on what Jesus has done on my behalf. I know that when my life comes to an end, I'll spend forever in heaven. I'm going to be with God forever. Now, I use the word heaven, and immediately there might be words coming in, thoughts coming into your mind, you know, harps and fluffy clouds and pearly gates and people eating Philadelphia and stuff like that. But actually, some of that is in the Bible, but the idea that we have of heaven, probably, is completely removed from what the Bible says heaven is. Heaven is to be in God's presence forever. To love him and to know him and to enjoy that relationship with him that first man and that first woman enjoyed. But actually, in an even better way. And that's what I've got. Because when I was about 12 years old or so, as I say, I got down on my knees in my bedroom on a Sunday night, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sins, and I asked him to come into my life and change me. And that's what he did. That night, as a 12-year-old boy, I became a Christian. And I received forgiveness, a relationship with God, and a home in heaven with him when my life comes to an end. Now that brings me back to the accident that I had. There I was lying on the floor of this warehouse yard. And I don't mind telling you, I was in agony. The morphine helped, but it didn't help that much. I was in severe pain. And as I was lying on the floor, I genuinely thought to myself, I thought, this is it, I'm going to die. You know, you fall 25 foot off a forklift truck, and you don't think there's much chance of surviving, especially if you fall on your head. But as I lay on the floor, thinking I was about to die, I was absolutely sure where I was going. I was absolutely certain that I had a home in heaven. And I'm still certain of that today. Now, I hope that your journey home is completely uneventful. But we know that accidents do happen. We know that tragedies happen. So my question to you this morning is really this. If you found yourself in that same situation as me, if you found yourself, as far as you knew, only minutes away from standing before God, do you have any certainty of where you're going? Maybe you would say, I hope I'll get to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says if that's your hope, then you've got no hope. That's completely hopeless. Because God's standard is so much greater than what we could ever achieve. I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm certain of it. Not because of anything that I've done, but because Jesus died on the cross for me. And because I've put my trust in him. And I want to say that, you know, if this morning, if you... I probably haven't explained things as well as I could have. It probably hasn't been as clear as it could have been. But if you want to know God, if you want to have a relationship with him, if you want to be forgiven for all of your sins, then you too, you need to come to Jesus and you need to ask him to forgive you for your sins and you can have a relationship with him today. And I think I'll pretty much leave it there, Steve.
Thanks ever so much, Tim. You mustn't leave it there for a moment because people are actually going to want to know what happened after those few minutes on the floor. I mean, presumably they did put Humpty Dumpty back together again?
Yes, in a physical sense.
Do you still have a broken back?
No, it's not still broken. My back is fused together with titanium. So I've got metal in my back. My leg was operated on. I lost 2.5 toes. They were crushed too badly to survive. And my head was stitched back together. So they put Humpty Dumpty back together again in a physical sense. After that, I suffered with depression for a few months, quite badly. I went very, very downhill. But in it all, God was good and he kept me going and eventually he brought me out of that. And eventually he brought me into sort of serving him for hopefully the rest of my life.